Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are moving from Romans 6, 1 and 2 to the following verses in Romans 6 and verses 3 through 5. And we're getting into the subject of Christ's resurrection and how that relates to the power of sin. You remember that Romans 6 introduces the question of the relationship between sin and the believer. And it talked about those of us who have died to sin. Remember? What shall we say then, verse 1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? But of course, then that raises the question, what do you mean by having died to sin? How do believers die to sin? In what way do we die to sin? And I explained to you at that point, when we raised that question some days ago now, that Paul is not talking about daily mortification of sin. This is not the same idea as I die daily. Every day I consciously put to death sin in my life. This is talking about a one-time past event. How shall we who died to sin? It already happened. It took place. A once-for-all event. How shall we who died, not who die to sin, not who are dying to sin, not who daily die to sin, but how shall we who died, past tense, to sin, live any longer in it? So, this is something that took place in the believer's past, but what is it exactly? In what sense did we die to sin? How do we die to sin? Well, that's now going to be explained in the death of Christ. And the believer's new life is going to be explained in relationship to the resurrection of Christ. So, we're going to learn today how the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of believers in Christ, how that impacts our lives today on earth, here, and now. Romans 3 through 5 concentrated upon the doctrine of justification. And that basically shows us how the believers, through justification, are free from the penalty of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We cannot be condemned. We cannot be legally punished if we have been justified. Those who are justified are now forever free from the penalty of sin. But chapter 6 of Romans deals with the doctrine of sanctification. And that is the question of how do we become free from the power of sin? The penalty of sin? We're free from that in justification. The power of sin. Sin's powerful impact. Sin's powerful pull. Sin's powerful temptations. Sin's powerful reality in this world. And is its lingering reality in the lives of believers. How do believers become free from the power of sin as well as the penalty of sin? And that's the doctrine of sanctification, and that's what Paul is dealing with here in chapter 6. In chapter 5, he talked about two kingdoms, two realms, Adam's realm and Christ's realm, and everyone is in either one or the other. What Adam did, therefore, applies to all of those who are in his domain. He sinned. The penalty for sin is death. All those in his domain have sinned and are under the sentence of death. But what Christ did applies to all of those who are in his domain. Christ lived a perfect life of righteousness. Christ died to pay the penalty for sins And then Christ rose again from the dead to demonstrate his power over sin and death. And what Christ did applies to all those who are in his domain. Does the message of justification by grace eliminate the need to live righteously? Chapter 6 of Romans says no, God forbid. Does the fact that grace abounds where sin abounded encourage men to sin the more? The grace may abound the more? God forbid that anyone should think that way. That's erroneous. How absurd. And so, this denial of the reign of sin in the lives of believers is now further explained in verses 3 through 5. And we learn here that the whole purpose of salvation is to produce a new life. It's impossible to share in the benefits of Christ's death without being conformed to his life. That's what this is saying. Do you get it? I'll say that again. It is impossible to share in the benefits of Christ's death without also being conformed to his life. So let me read now Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, have we? Have you? That's what Paul was talking about in verse 2. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? In what sense did we die to sin? In this sense. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, if we are linked to Christ, if we are joined to Christ, if we are in Christ, that means we were in Christ in his death. We have, therefore, died to sin. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. If we died with him, then we also were raised with him. That's what's pictured in believers' baptism. I don't know that all Baptist preachers, ministers say this, but most do, many do. When they lower someone into the water, they say, buried in the likeness of his death. And when they raise that person up out of the water, they say, raised to walk in newness of life. It's a symbol. It's simply a symbol. But it's a powerful symbol, and it symbolizes what Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 6. If we have been united with Christ in the likeness of his death, and we have to be in order to be saved, then we are also united with Christ in the likeness of his resurrection. This means that when Christ died, if we are in Christ, we died to the old realm, died to the old master, died to the dominion and mastery of sin in our lives. And when Christ rose from the dead, what did he rise from the dead to do? Well, he rose from the dead to conquer death, to rise to this new life that is divine life, which conquers over sin and death. Well, when Christ did that, if we are united to Christ, then we did that too. We were raised in this resurrection life. We have resurrection life. We have divine life within us, this newness of life. And therefore, we are no longer under the dominion of sin, and we can no longer live the way we used to. It's impossible. The Holy Spirit of God, indwelling a believer, is not going to live comfortably with sin in the life of the believer. So he's going to be continually convicting of sin, pricking the conscience, causing us to detest our sin, causing us to flee to Christ for fresh cleansing and renewed help and strength to live as a Christian ought to live. And that all is true because of our unitedness with Christ, our unity with Christ, in his death and resurrection. And so this passage in Romans 3, or 6 rather, 3 through 5, has several things to suggest concerning the ceremony of baptism, but it has many things to say that go far beyond the mechanics of baptism. The meaning and implications of Christ's death and resurrection are described here. The meaning and implication of the believer's union with Christ are described here. And that is all very important. So, what do we say? Well, we begin by talking about the significance of Christ's resurrection. And you understand, I trust, that the resurrection of Jesus from the grave was the greatest event of history. You say, really? Really. The greatest event in history was the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. Now, we need to understand something of the meaning of his death, the meaning of his burial, as well as the meaning of his resurrection. What is the meaning of his death? It speaks of atonement. And it also speaks of his invading Adam's realm. Back to verse 3 of Romans 6. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? He died to effect an atonement for sin. He shed his blood as a propitiation for our sins. And that means to appease the just wrath of a holy and righteous God. God's righteous indignation against our sins has to be satisfied. It has to be propitiated. Only the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross can do that. That, therefore, is the ground of our justification. And so, what Christ did when he died on the cross, well, when he was born, let's put it this way, when he came into this world, when he incarnated himself in human form, he entered Adam's realm. The same realm of humanity where the first man, Adam, failed. So Christ entered into that same realm of humanity and related himself to sin and death in order to overcome the failure of Adam. He came to undo what Adam did. Adam sinned and placed himself and his progeny under the sentence of death. How can we escape that? We can't do it. We don't have the power to do it. But God sent one who has the power to do it. So he entered that very same realm where sin and death held sway, and he conquered them. He lived the perfect life of righteousness. He did not yield to sin and temptation. He died upon the cross, paying the penalty for the sins which Adam and his race had committed. And then he rose victorious over the grave to demonstrate his power over sin and death. And therefore he snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. He snatched victory in the very realm where Adam had been defeated, but Christ won the victory in that very same realm. And if we are united with Christ, then we have that same victory as well. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.